Hey everybody, this is Dave from the Ninja Outreach Podcast, where we talk with entrepreneurs about software and marketing. I'm here with Josh Hanum. Josh, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful, beautiful Monday, and I was just helping my friends move to their new place, which is always a lot of
Yeah,
fun.
moving is always a
Yeah,
great experience.
that's me being sarcastic, if you can tell. I thought it was going to be a couple hours. It ended up being 5 hours, and we didn't even finish, and I had to rush back for this. Not to say I didn't want to be here and chat with you, but I was just like, it was a choice between a podcast with Josh or helping my friends carry more heavy boxes into their house, and I think I made the right choice.
Yeah, that's not a hard decision to make.
Yeah, for sure. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you come from, and how you got started building software.
Yeah, so I just actually recently graduated UCLA. I
Congrats.
thank you, thank you. I kind of got started with software there. In my first year, I started a site that's actually kind of similar to what you're doing here, where I basically talk to a bunch of different entrepreneurs about different things that they had done and all this interesting stuff in their past, and basically kind of did a bunch of case studies on what works and what doesn't in the world of software. So I did that for about a year, and then I got started basically doing my own software stuff my second year of college, and did a bunch of different things, kind of bounced around with different ideas until we landed on this current one, where we make quizzes, and have really jumped off with that one, and it's doing well and have taken off since then.
Awesome, man. I can't wait to dive into that. Feel free to name names here, man. What was that first site that you were doing with the podcast?
Yeah, so that one was called Entrepreneur Stories, and I believe it's not around anymore. I ended up selling it off, and then they kind of pulled it apart and it died. But so goes the world of online stuff, it doesn't have too long of a half-life. But that was the first one, and then after that, I did a lot of consulting work, just kind of helping different brands build out their websites, different things like that. And then we got started on our current product, which is called Interact. That's tryinteract.com.
Awesome. And so let me just take a step back here because it sounds like you've been involved in a lot of entrepreneurial stuff from a fairly young age, college. I was mostly just going out during college. I wasn't that. And you were in now, this is why you're in your situation here. So do you have a degree in, it's like software engineering?
So I have a degree in economics, and I did a specialization in computer science, so I have a little bit of both worlds.
I got you. And I've done a bit of computer science myself, and at least in my experience, it was very theoretical, if at least the way we taught it at my school. Where did you get kind of the hands-on learning? Was it from class or just outside initiatives?
No, definitely not class. There's a great site called Code Academy where you can basically go through and learn HTML and JavaScript, CSS and all that kind of stuff, and that's how I got a little bit of practical experience there.
Gotcha. And so you mentioned Entrepreneur Stories. You mentioned you sold that site, and I don't want to pry, but is that an interesting story that you want to tell or?
I mean, it's not super interesting. Basically, after I got tired of running the site after about a year, I probably talked to over 100 different business owners and really gotten a lot of experience. And I was kind of over it at that point. I ended up selling it to a venture capital firm in England that was interested in having the stories in their portfolio, and they kind of used some of them and then ended up actually shutting down the site. So not super interesting, but definitely exciting to sell that first thing and really get started.
Yeah, I mean, just gotta ask, did you approach them or did they approach you?
They did approach me. It was kind of one of those random things where you get an email and you kind of blow it off. But then when I kind of decided I wanted to move on a bit, I went back to it and ended up getting in touch with them again.
Gotcha. So kind of an opportunity presented itself and the timing was right. You felt like you had gotten the value out of it and so you jumped on it and moved on.
Exactly.
I hear you. And so let's kind of move in transition to kind of the big project right now that I believe, and you mentioned it's called Interact, which is tryinteract.com. And my understanding is this is this quiz software for your website. You can integrate quizzes into your website to help engage with customers and generate leads.
Exactly.
And where does that idea come from?
Yeah, so that idea comes from actually working with a variety of different companies and websites building custom builds. Basically, I worked with a team of, there's three of us, myself, a full-time programmer, and a designer. And during college, we would take on projects building out websites for different kinds of companies, either doctors or marketing companies or healthcare products, all kinds of stuff we built. We basically built their websites for them. And one of the things that we would do when we built those websites is create quizzes. But these were completely custom coded quizzes that we would make ourselves from scratch. And the sites that had quizzes ended up doing much, much, much better than any of the other ones. And so we kind of figured that was a big deal. And kind of around the time that quizzes started taking off with BuzzFeed and different sites like that, we jumped on it and really created a platform to allow anyone, not just our customers, for the web design business to come and make a quiz. And that's kind of where that was born out of.
Gotcha. Okay, so a lot of great points there. I want to even dive deeper here. You mentioned, you know, that you put quizzes in some of the websites and you noticed that they were doing better. First of all, I mean, where do you even think to put quizzes in? Is that some sort of offering that the person could choose from? Was that the client's idea?
Yeah, so I think it did originally come from a couple of different clients. I remember one in particular was a medical office, and they wanted to do, you know, a questionnaire on how much you know about, I believe it was allergies. And they wanted to just put out a little simple questionnaire. You know, it wasn't anything fancy or really accurate. It wasn't real medical advice, but it was just kind of a thing to get people interested in the office. And then once they're on the website taking the quiz, they can make an appointment or whatever. And that was a very interesting idea. And we ended up just building one really simply. And it turned out to basically double the website traffic on that site within a couple of months and continually draw in new leads. So that was one specific example. I don't know if there was really a specific moment when we realized it was working, but after it kind of caught on a little bit and more people started asking for them, it definitely became aware that it was a need.
Gotcha. So the clients kind of came to you and said, hey, I've seen this around. Maybe they saw it on BuzzFeed or other sites like it. And they said, hey, I'd like to, you know, do a quiz on my website. Is that something you guys can do? And you said, sure. So you custom build each of them and start measuring the results.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you say like it doubled traffic, or I mean, where, how are you measuring that? And what do you think it is about the quizzes? I would think quizzes might improve engagement, maybe time on site or something to that effect. But, you know, when you say traffic, I think maybe almost like inbound traffic. So how does that all work?
Yeah, so I mean, that's just measured through Google Analytics, basically looking at unique views over time. And I think the reasons, there's a variety of reasons for that increased traffic, but I think what happens with a lot of companies is you get a very stagnant type of website where you just have information posted, maybe you have some flyer type of content, maybe you're even doing some content marketing, but for a lot of industries, it's really hard to create something that's interesting and fun, especially, you know, in the harder type of businesses like a doctor office or, you know, the Red Cross is a client of ours, for example. And a quiz can just be something that's mostly entertainment. We like to say that our quizzes are 85% entertainment, 10% to be informative, and 5% to sell. So basically, well, that doesn't add up.
You go above and beyond is basically what you're saying.
Basically, it's 105%.
I love it.
No, 80-15-5 is the ratio. So basically, you know, whereas most of the other content on your site is probably 50% to inform, you know, maybe 25% to be entertaining and 25% to sell, your quiz is much more entertaining, but it does still get the job done by having a value proposition and drawing in new leads and things like that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept. So, you know, when you're doing the quizzes, and like you said, the majority of it is a little bit for entertainment, maybe make the website pop a bit, sort of engage with the client. But when you talk about informing, do you mean sort of informing the client about his target market by getting them to answer questions, or the reverse, sort of informing the customer about certain, offerings that the client has and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of another awesome part of quizzes is that it does both. So we're working on a quiz right now for Forbes. Well, actually, it just launched last week. And the quiz is, which college should you attend? And that quiz gives each person who comes in and takes a quiz an idea of what part of the country they should go to for college, what kind of college would be right for them, things like that. And then on the back end, the staff over at Forbes gets a lot of really high quality information about who their readers are, and then they can use that information to create content in the future. So it's informative for the quiz taker, and it's also informative for the website owner.
Gotcha. So it's double-sided, and that which makes it ideal.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you were working with, I think, one designer, one developer on this. Is it still the same size team there?
Still is, yep.
And these are maybe your buddies from college and stuff.
Exactly.
And so your role, I mean, you mentioned you have a bit of a computer science background, but I'm assuming I see one gap here in the three, and that's kind of the business sales side. Am I to assume that that's kind of your spot?
Yeah, that's basically where I've morphed into.
Cool. And okay, so you have this idea, you're seeing some results, you're seeing there's a need for it, and you have, the I don't know what the word gumption for whatever it is to kind of pursue it maybe on a larger scale. Where you're looking around, did you see any competitors in this space?
Yeah, so when we first got the idea, this was back before even BuzzFeed had really taken off with their quizzes. This was a little over a year ago now that we started in jumping into the quiz world and creating a quiz builder. And most of the competition out there was just very, very old sites. I believe there was a big boom in quizzes in the early 2000s, and a bunch of sites popped up then and just created a bunch of quizzes. But obviously, something built in 2000 is not going to be robust anymore, and those quizzes didn't work very well as embeds, and they just weren't right for brands. So there's definitely a gap in the market for a company that builds quizzes specifically for other brands that are very clean and work well and just don't have kind of the hangover, I guess, from being a very old site.
Okay, and just to give me some context, I should ask, what year are you kind of working around here? You're a young guy, I imagine this is a couple of years ago.
As far as starting this up,
Yeah.
this one we just started the Interact about a year ago.
Okay, so you've been doing it for about a year. And by the way, another thing I'm thinking, quizzes and surveys. I mean, is there a significant difference here?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the entertainment value kind of thing that I was mentioning earlier, where a survey, you've got to entice someone to take a survey. You have to tell them they're going to get an iPad or, say you're going to give them some kind of discount or coupon, something like that. It's difficult to get people to take surveys. You almost have to pay them off to do it. Whereas a quiz, you want to find out which college you should go to. You want to find out how good of a swimmer you are, things like that. It's kind of goofy and fun, but it also entices people to want to come in and actually take the quizzes.
It's interesting because, as you said, like the quizzes, there's a lot of entertainment going on there. But I wonder if the quizzes could be a good substitute for surveys where, you give the reader or customer a something a little bit entertaining to kind of fish that information out of them that you're looking to get.
Yeah, definitely. We've had quite a few different clients use the quizzes as a survey tool, and it works well basically for the reason that you mentioned already is that it's fun for the customer, but then you're also able to collect some really nice data. So, for example, if you want to do a quiz, what kind of realtor are you? We had a real estate company do that, and they asked different questions about age and your interests and all these types of things. And at the end, they were able to get a readout of basically who is interfacing with their website, and they can really target their content towards that audience in the future.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're onto a winner here, or at least you've seen the need, you validated the market, you've looked at the competitors, they've all got what sounds like inferior, somewhat outdated products, so you're getting ready to kind of launch, like going out as your own. What's your strategy?
email people. Basically, you know, I think at the beginning stages, there's a lot of things you can try, and I don't claim to be any kind of expert on getting the first customers, but I do think there's a lot of value in just talking to your first customers. I believe about the first 100 people that signed up with us, I interfaced with through email or on the phone and really just kind of learned what their difficulties were from the business side as far as wanting to create quizzes but needing a tool for it, different things like that. And so, yeah, the first basically 100 people we signed up, I emailed personally.
Gotcha. So it's a very direct approach. Now, you said that, you know, your customers are from all over the place. You mentioned doctors and health clinics and Forbes and stuff like that. When you were mm-hmm. first going, did you try to niche it down at all?
Yeah, so we kind of started off with a couple of different categories. We had the healthcare type of stuff that was really big, healthcare and fitness, so essentially. Personal finance was also a big section. Quizzes like how much do you know about credit cards, stuff like that was really popular. And then also marketing sites. So those were the three kind of tiers that we tried to go after at first just to get our foot in the door.
And how were you going about finding those people to email them?
Basically lists of bloggers. I obviously started off with people that I knew first and kind of went around to my personal network to pick up the first few. And then after that, there's just nice lists of bloggers. There's a site called Listly, that's list.ly, that has a lot of different lists of bloggers you can reach out to and kind of just start conversations with and, you know, see if they have an interest in what you're working on. And just kind of went through those lists and found ones that look like they might be interested in quizzes. After a while, you can kind of get a feel for what type of site would do well with a quiz, and so you can target your outreach to them.
Gotcha. So you cast a little bit of a wide net, you know, to start. You start to gauge the response, try to find some commonalities between, you know, the people who are responding, and then you hone in on it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, and I've done a lot of direct emailing myself, probably too much, to be honest. I'm wondering if you're in the same boat that I'm in, which is you email 100 people personally, so to speak, and 5 people get back to you. I mean, what was the type of response rate you were getting when you were doing this?
Yeah, I think that response rate was really what validated what we were working on a lot. I would say the response rate was upwards of 25%.
Wow.
And out of that 25%, I would say half of them ended up actually launching some type of quiz on their site. So yeah, I had definitely experienced very similar numbers to what you're talking about in the past with other products and projects and things. And getting that kind of response rate was really one of the indicators that this was something people were actually interested in, and they, you know, were fine with getting a cold email about it because it's something they had been looking for or they had heard about, but they just hadn't found a good solution for.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people talk about in the early days, you do things that don't necessarily scale. And, you know, a personal email from Josh Hanum, you know, at gmail.com or whatever your email address is, you know, it's not mm-hmm. necessarily the thing that's going to scale the most, you know, but you got those good customers and you validated the market on the response rate.
Yeah, definitely. And those customers will tell you, you know, what types of things they want. You can start making lists of features and figuring out which ones are the most important. It's really important to interface directly with people at the beginning because that's who you're building the product for. You know, you're not building it for yourself. If you were doing that, you wouldn't need to talk to anyone, but you do need to figure out what types of things your target audience is interested in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I noticed on the website that you integrate with a lot of, you know, fairly big name companies, MailChimp, AWeber, Marketo. How did these go about? Did you approach them? Did they approach you? And you know, how significant has that been to TryInteract's growth?
Yeah, that was definitely significant, especially in the early days. All of those programs have nice partner programs where you can get listed on their website and get some new leads driving through that way. Basically, we reached out to all of those companies individually. Basically, the strategy there was to show that we have something of value that would help their customers out. None of those companies have any kind of quiz plugin that integrates with their system to collect new leads. So I just emailed them and let them know that we had this product and we were more than willing to do some work to integrate with them. And from there, you just kind of go through the API setup and get integrated, and then they kind of return the favor by listing you in their gallery and sending you some new leads. So that's definitely a really solid way, especially at the very, very like early days, to get some new leads flowing through and really grow those that initial customer base.
So that's interesting, because I would have thought integrations would have been a more down the line type of approach, you know, when maybe when you had already established yourself and, you know, you're approaching these kind of giants like MailChimp and AWeber, but you didn't find it like that. You kind of went early.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the core things that we do. So one of our big differentiators from a lot of the kind of legacy quiz builders out there is that we do have these direct connections, because we're not the only quiz builder that will collect leads for you, but we are the only quiz builder that will collect leads for you and then put them into your existing campaigns so you don't have to do any extra work. So that's definitely been one of our value propositions from the start. And so it was important to have that be part of our initial offering.
Gotcha. So the integrations are almost like a feature, you know, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. And so with these, how long does it take to do an integration? You know, how many weeks of coding, months of coding, you know, how did that all flow?
Yeah, it depends on the integration. MailChimp is awesome. They have an amazing team that works hard on their API. So that one really took about a week. Some of the other ones take a lot longer depending on how their APIs are set up and how difficult it is to set up the integration and how deep it needs to go as far as tagging the leads and things like that. So it definitely depends. I would say anywhere between a week and 3 weeks of coding.
Gotcha. Interesting. So I noticed, I was looking at the pricing table, and one of the differentiators you offer is a professional writer to write the quizzes. I obviously am not, you know, an expert in the quiz space, but I would not have thought of that, you know, off the top of my head. So where did that idea come about?
Yeah, so even from the start, when we were emailing people personally, the biggest difficulty about making a quiz was actually writing the content, because it's so much different than writing an article or even recording a video or doing a podcast. You can't just, you know, talk or type and make it happen. You have to figure out, you know, this result correlates to this question, and this question correlates to this one, and here's how the scoring works, and, you know, here's how I'm going to title this thing to get the most clicks and things like that. And it's something that is not really what you're used to as far as creating content online. So a big part of our core strategy is just education and helping people create their quizzes. And that was part of the product from the beginning. And when we got to the point where we introduced pricing, it was part of the pricing from the start. So, you know, larger companies or companies that want to, you know, really get it right from the start will hire us to help them out and make sure that they get those quizzes written properly.
I understand. So, and I'm just commenting on something you just mentioned about introducing pricing. Were you not charging from this from the very beginning?
No, yeah. So that's another thing that I think is important is Paul Graham from Y Combinator always says you want to be a free consultant for a while at the beginning. And that's basically what we did, is we kind of consulted with companies to help them make quizzes, but we didn't charge them. As soon as you start charging people, they expect a lot more. They expect all the bugs to be fixed, things like that. You can't really connect with them and have honest conversations about the product. So we for the first about 6 months after launch, we did not charge anyone.
So just to be clear, this is when you are just like a quiz software. This is basically like when you are the product that we see now, right?
Yeah. So just as a quiz software, it was free for everyone for the first 6 months.
And when did you decide to kind of make that change? And how did you incorporate sort of a grandfather in, you know, previous customers?
Yeah, so everyone that was signed up for free before was automatically upgraded to the paid plan, you know, kind of just as a quick thank you for testing it out and helping us fix bugs and things like that at the beginning. And really, we decided to make the change when we started introducing features that were more difficult for us to handle on our end, essentially things that were going to require more manpower and more time. And that's really when we introduced the pricing, is when those features started to become necessities.
And was it difficult at all bootstrapping during this time and managing the costs? You know, I'm assuming that you didn't have investors, but I could be wrong.
No, we do not have investors. I mean, that whole time we were free, and the first couple of months when we had paid plans, we were still in school, so it was not too big of an issue at that point.
Gotcha. So, okay, so everything up till now, it has been super rosy for me. It's like you're getting a great response rate. Everybody's telling you that they need it. Everything's going very well. I'm glad to hear that. But what are some of the challenges that you didn't anticipate, and how did you go about overcoming them?
Yeah, so I think some of the biggest challenges were with scaling and actually growing. I think for the first 6, 7, 8 months, we just really struggled to figure out what people wanted and what kind of quizzes were going to be right for businesses. And that's kind of what we all understand, right? Is like that struggle part of it, where you're just trying to figure things out and you're just trying to get people to throw down a credit card and buy it from you. And it's not that difficult. You know, you just keep trying new things until something sticks. But once we did find something that kind of stuck and caught on and started to grow a little bit, we started running into a lot of scaling issues where there were bugs that just we could not figure out, or there was too much traffic and the server was overloading and things like this. And that's stuff that there's not so much help out there for. You know, there's a lot of articles on how to get your first 10 customers. There's not quite so many on how to set up your database to handle a surge in traffic on, you know, X day, and then it goes back down and back up. So that was really where we found it to be difficult, is when things started coming together a little bit, but we still had to continue to grow and fix problems and things like that.
Gotcha. And it's a good point about, you know, some of the topics you mentioned where there aren't really available resources, like how to, you know, find adequate server capacity and stuff. So where did you eventually get that information?
Some of it came from just reaching out to people that had been there and done that. And then some of it just came from trial and error, you know, just trying different things over and over again until you find something that sticks.
Interesting. It sounds a bit almost like an opportunity to me, where you know, maybe nobody has really dominated that space yet for the, you know, post-launch, pre-major success startup, how to get the kinks worked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the part that's difficult. You know, you're bringing on customers, things are kind of looking up, but you really haven't surged ahead because there's a lot of things you got to figure out. There's a lot of, you know, pieces with the code and even with the product as well that are just difficult at that point, where you have to really do a lot of thinking, a lot of trial and error, a lot of talking to customers again, just to figure out where you need to be headed.
And yeah. Okay. So, you know, you've been around now for at least a year, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where I like to put you on the spot, and if you don't want to answer, that's okay. But if you could tell us a little bit about the economics of the business, things like, you know, number of customers, revenue, you know, is it supporting the three of you guys? How's it going?
Yeah, so we are in the stage that's called ramen profitable. Basically, you know, we're pulling in enough money to handle all of the basic expenses for our team, and we just launched our paid plans 3 months ago. So 3 months after launch, we have hit the very bare bones of what you'd call ramen profitable. So it's by no means kind of growth stage, but it is definitely past the stage where it's like, oh, shoot, you know, we're probably going to go broke in a month. That's where we're at right now. We have 1,800 free users. We have 100 paid customers. And we are growing by about 50% each month so far. So it's coming along, and as long as the growth continues, we are in a good place.
Yeah, that's That's awesome. That's a, I mean, it's a pretty sizable market. So I think that, you know, from my guess at least, I think that there's plenty of users out there who could benefit from this. And I'm sure, you know, you guys are basically, you're basically focusing on scaling right now. You've hit the product market fit, you know, people like it, you've worked out all the bugs, you just start charging money. So now you want to kind of start scaling.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we've perfectly hit the product market fit. I would say that we've found a piece of the market that people are interested in and that they want. I would say that we need to continue working with our customers to figure out how to improve and get better. But at this point, a lot of our issues are with, you know, how to just grow it faster instead of, you know, figuring out something that people care about.
And what sort of some of the marketing strategy tactics, so to speak, that you're focusing on, you know, specific channels that you're excited about pursuing, or, you know, paid advertising, guest blogging, what's kind of on your radar?
Yeah, so there's really only two things that we do. As I mentioned before, educating people on how to make quizzes, that is a huge question that is just completely overlooked by a lot of the other quiz companies. So that's where most of our marketing comes from. It's really just, you know, things like how to make a personality quiz, how to write a quiz, things like that, that you'd think are all over the place, but they aren't. So that's really one of the main ways that we drive new customers, is just by being helpful with the creation process. And then the other way we do drive customers is by doing what I like to call guest writing, which is not guest posting, because guest posting has gotten kind of a bad rap recently as far as, you know, kind of trying to manipulate SEO. But the difference between guest writing and guest posting is that the goal with guest writing is to get referral traffic that turns into customers, whereas guest posting, the goal has typically been SEO to boost your backlinks, things like that. So I restrict the guest writing to sites like Unbounce or Buffer or Marketing Profs or Yahoo Small Business, these types of big sites where your real value comes from the people that are going to find you rather than the backlink.
And I appreciate you coining an entirely new phrase for me right now here on this podcast, guest writing. But you gotta come up with a bit something sexier. I think guest writing just doesn't get me motivated.
It's not quite too sexy.
Yeah, but that's okay. You'll work on it. So you know, so your plans for the future are essentially to. Well, let me ask: Are you all in on this? You know, you just graduated. Or are you looking for work or?
Oh yeah, no, totally all in on this.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. So you were just, you know, going to work on kind of scaling this and pursuing, you know, guest writing and some of the other channels you mentioned, correct?
Yeah, and I think the best marketing for us really, though, has been the product. We do have a free option that has an attribution link back to us that drives referral traffic, and that to this day is still our biggest driver of new signups. So for us, just improving the product is the best way to continue to grow.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention, I think what, if I'm understanding, when you say attribution link, you mean essentially a link on somebody's quiz that says, you know, powered by Interact, something like that, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And if anybody follows Groove out there, I don't know if you've checked out them and their blog and everything, but they actually had a similar blog post where they were writing that when they wrote powered by Groove on some of the help desk forums, it also sent a ton of referral traffic. So if you're out there, you've got that type of business, it's definitely something to be thinking about.
Yeah, it definitely is, and you want to be careful. You know, you want to make sure you're providing enough value to really warrant getting that link. You know, there's a lot of kind of widget abuse out there where you'll embed some dumb widget that doesn't really do anything, and then they'll have a link. You definitely want to make sure you're providing value, you know, like Groove with their customer support software, Interact with a whole quiz type of thing. So you got to be careful with that, but it definitely is a great way to grow your reach.
Yeah, like you said, it can be a bit intrusive, you know, depending on how you go about it, but if you've got the right product and people love it, you know, and they're happy to promote you, then it can be a win-win for everybody, because then they can stop getting all these questions like, hey, where did you get that quiz?
Definitely, definitely.
All right, Josh. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Where, you know, I mentioned a few of your websites. Where can people find you once again?
Yeah, so the site is tryinteract.com, That's where you can come in. We have a free tier, so you can come in and try out making a quiz for yourself. It's a lot of fun, really easy process, and it's a great way to drive traffic and get new leads. So that's the main place where I hang out, and you can also check out our blog, tryinteract.com/blog.
Awesome. Thank you, Josh, for being with us today. You know, maybe we'll check in a year from now and kind of see if you are off the ramen and have really, which I think you will be, and have really grown this thing to even greater heights. So
awesome.
Thanks once again.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later, Josh.
Bye-bye.